As I mentioned, coming up Friday night at the Southeast Alaska Discovery Center is a program with geologist Jim Baichtal. He'll be discussing life on the rim, and he is joining us by phone this morning from over on Prince of Wales Island to give us more information about that and the situation with the fault lines here in our area. Also joining us is Fire Chief Abner Hoag, who's on hand to answer some questions if they come up with regards to preparedness in our community for those emergencies. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good morning.
Thanks. And so talk a bit, I guess, about, and obviously it's a complex subject, but maybe briefly about the geology of this area and what you will be presenting tomorrow night.
What I want to do is kind of outline the mechanisms behind what drives the boundaries of the plates around here, and where the earth, how the earthquakes are generated, and what kinds of earthquakes are generated where, and how that thing functions. So, kind of where they're at and how they're generated along the coast of Southeast Alaska, and talk about the historic earthquakes that we've had just off our outer coast here, not to downplay anything like the 64th quake, but to what's happening right outside of southern Southeast Alaska. And then talk about any threats from around the Pacific Rim, you know, Indonesia and Japan and Chile, and earthquakes that can send us a resultant tsunami many, many hours after they have a major earthquake. And then introduce the whole concept of this Cascadia subduction zone earthquake, which basically would be a rupture from Victoria, British Columbia, all the way down to northern California, and the implications of that.
And how active is our area? And I guess are there indications that a serious situation might occur?
Our area is no. Actually, we live along basically a strike slip fault along the edge of the Queen Charlotte Fairweather Fault off our outer coast out here, off of Prince of Wales Island and Baranoff Island. And somewhere on a frequency of about every 12 to 13 years, we have a magnitude 7 to 8 earthquake that's happened. That's based on earthquakes from the late 1800s to the present. So in that period of time, maybe in the last 120 years, we've had 10 earthquakes over that period.
And what would the effect of, a 7 earthquake be? I mean, obviously, it depends on where it happens, where the epicenter is and such, but what might we expect if something like that happens?
Well, on the 5th of January 2013, we had the earthquake right outside of Craig. So it depends on the type of movement along the fault line and the displacement along there, whether, one, a tsunami is generated, and, two, how much shaking and the duration of that shaking, the depth of the earthquake. And so we had moderate shaking associated with that 7 earthquake. It was felt throughout most of Southeast Alaska. Not very much displacement of water associated with that. Of course, we also need to monitor other things that can happen as a result of an earthquake, such as a underwater landslide or a surface landslide that would create a sidewash or something in one of our channels. And so just because you have an earthquake, there may be effects away from that earthquake that would have an effect on a community.
And how will your presentation in any way talk about what people should think about, or how aware, I guess, getting this information, what can people do with that?
I just want to put it in context of frequency and the kinds of things that historically have gone in the past, and let people know that all tsunami warnings should be taken very, very seriously. And those earthquake warnings and stuff like that that come over the different systems that we have, both on the radio and through computers and apps and social media and things like that, they need to be taken really seriously. And to give people, not to be necessarily panicked about these things, but to be prepared for it. Think about what you're going to do if you need to go to higher ground, to know what resources there are in your local communities and stuff like that. To not run down to the edge of the dock to watch the tsunami come in, which is a common thing that you'll see in all the video footage and stuff like that, that people are in such awe and shock that they tend to get mesmerized by the situation and not being reacting. So it's something to be taken really seriously, and to have your preparedness kit and to work with your local community organizations that help prepare those things.
And I know over on Prince of Wales Island there's a very active community and planning there, and we communicate if there is a warning to Craig or such, have kind of a communication system set up through the radio so we can get messages out when things like that happen. We've been working on that. And I will ask Abner Hoag, what are the plans? What is the situation with the LAPC here?
Yeah, well, before I get into that, I wanted to point out Jim made some great points that awareness of what the hazard is kind of the first step to getting yourself prepared. You have to know what the hazards are that are out there. So his presentation and talking about the history and what some of those risks are will build that desire for you to be prepared. And once you have that desire to be prepared, then the LEPC can also help you in preparing for that. We have information on our Google Sites page, Greater Ketchikan Area LEPC. If you search for that, it's the top result that comes up. And we have our tsunami-ready community information available on there. We are a tsunami-ready community. And what that means is that we've taken some steps to ensure that we have systems in place for warning our community. We have established evacuation routes that have been signed throughout the town that lead you to designated shelter locations, and that we have plans in place for what we're going to do and how we're going to respond to that type of situation. Anytime that you have a very strong earthquake that lasts for 20 seconds or more, knocks you to your feet, that's the time that it's important to know what to do. And in any earthquake, you want to first drop, cover, and hold so that you protect yourself during the quake. And as soon as the shaking stops, if it's that severe earthquake, you need to get away from sea level. You want to get to higher ground right away. And for our purposes here in Ketchikan, we recommend at least 50 feet above sea level. We prefer 100 feet above sea level. And all of our shelter locations are at or up more than 100 feet above sea level.
And I understand, is this correct, Jim, that because Ketchikan, we're surrounded by islands and things, that it's more likely that a landslide, oceanic landslide, would cause perhaps higher waves here than would, say, an off-coast tsunami. Does that make sense?
You definitely get interference from the islands, but depending on the severity of the earthquake, that can continue to push a wave through that from the 19th, so August 22nd, 1949, I believe, we had a magnitude 8 just off of the northern tip of the Queen Charlotte Islands, and 1949, excuse me, and there was like a 2-foot wave reported rolling along the coast out by Knutson Cove. So, and to think about this, a tsunami wave is not like a wind wave. A wind wave only operates on the surface of the water. When a tsunami wave is 2 feet high, it's moving the entire column of water at a really high rate of speed. And so the it's a totally different type of wave than we're used to thinking about when we're out boating. And so it has, I'm going to show a video of only a 3-foot wave that from the 2011 Japanese earthquake that came into California and what it did to a bay. Just, I mean, we see 3-foot waves all the time, but not 3-foot tsunami waves.
That's actually, so, I was going to say that's a good point. That's a really good point.
Yeah, so it's not that we are on the edge of the outer coast where we're going to be the first thing that gets contacted, and it's definitely going to be reflected, and it might even be focused as a result of it. I know the Alaska Earthquake Information Center has been doing tsunami inundation mapping projects, and they've got quite a few of the communities that they rate. First, they rated all the communities, and they started with the ones that have the highest probability of having a tsunami, and they have those completed, and they're working on the second layer of stuff. Sitka in southeast Alaska is the one that was done in our backyard. And because of that, we were Ketchikan and Thorne Bay, where I'm at, and stuff like that, we're way down on the list because of the fact that we have islands between us and where that's going to be coming from. But they're still going to be doing tsunami inundation mapping for those communities in over time.
Okay. And Abner, I think you also made a good point about being prepared, because I think a lot of it thinks passive, oh, well, we haven't had one, or last time it wasn't that big, and so people, until something happens, don't act, and then it's too late.
Right. That you can't plan once the emergency happens. You have to plan in advance, and your greatest chance of survival in any emergency situation is to have a plan in advance. You hear people in Ketchikan and southeast Alaska, especially on the inner channel, they say they're protected and the outer islands are going to protect them from a tsunami. And that's not necessarily completely true. We probably do have a lower risk than communities that are on the outer islands, but we are a coastal community and we still have a risk. And so understanding what that risk is, and understanding that just because there's a barrier in front is that water wraps around the island. They've done some really good computer modeling that shows you can still have significant wave action on the backside, 180 degrees opposite of where the initial wave approaches, and sometimes it can cause even more damage. So preparedness is key.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else you would like to add, Abner?
I think I'm good. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Jim, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Nope. I hope folks come down and that we have some good discussions down there at the Discovery Center on Friday night.
Okay. Thank you so much. Jim Bechtel, again, he will be making a presentation tomorrow night beginning at 6 p.m. at the Southeast Alaska Discovery Center, Life on the Rim, including threats from earthquakes and tsunamis. And thank you again, Abner Hoag, for being here as well.
Thanks for having me.